بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير. الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم بغير حق إلا أن يقولوا ربنا الله. وقال تعالى في موضع آخر: فلما بلغ معه السعي قال: يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى. قال: يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر، ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. فلما أسلم وتله للجبين. وناديناه: أي يا إبراهيم قد صدقت رؤيا. وقال تعالى: وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى. وقال تعالى: لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. وقد سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أي الناس يشد بلاء؟ فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الأنبياء، ثم الصالحون، ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama, elders and brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We express our thanks firstly always to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His many bounties and His many favors upon us. The food that we eat, the water that we drink, the shelter above our heads, the means of transportation that we utilize, the health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. All these are favors and ni'mat from His side for which we need to continue thanking Him. The greatest, the most precious and the most valuable of all these favors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us iman, made us believers in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected brothers and elders, as Muslims, as believers, we find ourselves in different seasons of the year, in different times of the year. And sometimes those seasons in terms of spirituality are higher than other seasons. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the blessed month of Ramadan, and that was a very spiritually high season for us. A season in which we were supposed to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take advantage of the greatness of that time of the month, and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by becoming better Muslims and trying to become better Muslims during that time. And also now we find ourselves in the months of Hajj. And when it comes to the months of Hajj, then a believer, a mu'min, is a person who is supposed to take lessons from whatever is happening around him, and he is supposed to be reminded of certain things. We know that very soon we will be entering the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are very blessed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to different hadith, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِ وَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that there are no days in the year in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good deeds more than these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. This is the status and this is the greatness of these days in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, normally in the Quran, when He takes an oath on something, then He wants to show us the greatness of that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fajr mentions, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the morning and the 10 nights. And the Mufassirin mentioned that these 10 nights refers to the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. So we find these are very blessed days that are coming and nights that are coming. And we find that these are the days, of course, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the believers to fulfill this important aspect of deen, this important pillar of Islam, this pilgrimage of Hajj. And we know this carrying out or this fulfillment of this Hajj is something which is compulsory upon every believer at least once in his lifetime, if he has the physical and financial ability to do so. We know nowadays there is accreditation, etc. But the moment a person is physically and financially able to do so and his name comes up, immediately without hesitation, he has to embark on this journey of Hajj. And when we look at this journey of Hajj and where, of course, a believer journeys to the holy lands of Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara, and we look at the different rituals that take place, a person carries out in this journey of Hajj and the places that he carries it out, then there is one word that perhaps will will be synonymous with us, or there is one word that will helps light up in all these aspects, and that is sacrifice, qurbani and sacrifice. If you have to look at the places that we, of course, that this journey is undertaken to, the beautiful and wonderful city of Makkah Mukarramah, the beloved city of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a person just has to look at the history of Islam, and he will see the amount of sacrifices that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum underwent in that very city of Makkah. And of course, prior to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved forefather in Islam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the amount of sacrifices he underwent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him undergo for the sake of deen, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could test the strength of his iman. And we know that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a child at a very advanced age. At a very advanced age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he had that infant child of his, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time commanded him to take his wife and his child and leave them, abandon them, so to say, in the barren land of Makkah Mukarramah. Abandon them, leave them. Now no normal person will do this, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the command to do it. So he goes and he leaves his wife and child, infant child, in that barren land of Makkah. No sign of any vegetation, no sign of any food, no sign of any resources whatsoever. And she turns around to him and she asks him that, oh Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, is this the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you leaving us here? Then he replied, yes. So thereafter she said to him, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow us to be destroyed. This was the conviction of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and his wife and his children as well, and the submission of his children. The family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was like no other family that walked the face of the earth. Their submission and their complete obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so pure and it was so sincere that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, millennia and how many years later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the believers carry out actions in commemoration of these actions of obedience of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family. So of course we know that his wife, she had to walk now up and down looking for assistance, looking for help, looking for some water. So she walks up Mount Safa and up Mount Marwa, in between looking for water to feed or looking for some food to feed her child. Of course we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and grace, at the very feet of that infant child of hers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that beautiful well of Zamzam to spring up. And the entire ummah from that day up until now is benefiting from the sweet water of Zamzam. And the fadail of that water of Zamzam, we know, ma'u Zamzam lima shuribala, that if a person makes dua when he's drinking Zamzam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua. So this was one of the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that we are reminded during these days of Hajj. And thereafter we find, of course, the most famous sacrifice that he made when that child of his now, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. Now when he reached that age where he could run, do things for himself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the command in a dream to slaughter that very child of his. And he comes up to his son and he says to him, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka. I see myself in a dream slaughtering you. And this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine a son coming to his father and telling his father that I need to take your life, I need to slaughter you. But of course, as mentioned, this family was not an ordinary family. This family was in complete submission and complete obedience to every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, so he says to his son, so then thereafter his father says, the son says to the father, Ya abatif al ma tu'umar. And if you look at the terms that they were addressing one another, it was terms of endearment, it was in terms of love, and they're speaking about killing the son, the father is speaking about killing the son, but because this was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala side, they're addressing one another with such terms of love and such terms of endearment. So of course they both now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, when they both submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
And now they go out to the plains of Mina to go and fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now shaitan starts coming and tries to distract them from this mission of theirs. And of course, they pick up stones and they start stoning that shaitan. And this also, the act of stoning the Jamarat is in commemoration of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's action and the action of his family in the plains of Mina. And of course, they went on further and they fulfilled this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam put his son down and he put a knife on his neck and he was about to slaughter that son of his. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow him to slaughter that son of his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered his act of obedience as fulfilled. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادِيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ رُؤْيَا. You have fulfilled this command that I've given you in a dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a ram in place of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and he was slaughtered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he made the ultimate sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still did not allow his son to die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued him and his family. So this, respected brothers and elders, are the incidents that we are reminded and the sacrifices that we are reminded during these days of Hajj. And then of course we know in the blessed lands of Makkah Mukarramah, the sacrifices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum themselves, the amount of sacrifices that they underwent. Speak about any sacrifice that a person can think of, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through it. Whether it was the loss of parents, Nabi Sallam lost his parents. Loss of children, Nabi Sallam lost his children. Loss of uncle, Nabi Sallam lost his uncle. Speak about any other type of trial and tribulation, Nabi Sallam underwent every single type of trial and tribulation. Speak about the loss of your wife, Nabi Sallam lost his wife. Besides, amongst the many other sacrifices that Nabi Sallam had to undergo and Sahaba had underwent, and we find that the great sacrifice that he also had to undergo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions actually in Surah Hajj regarding this, when after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, when Nabi Sallam had made hijrah now to Medina Munawwara, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gave the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum the permission to fight back and defend themselves against the enemy and to fight for the sake of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. That permission has been given to those that were fought against because they were oppressed. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully capable of assisting them. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those that were thrown out of their homes, those that were taken out of their homes. Now imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it came to a stage now where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed the Sahaba to migrate to Medina Munawwara because of the persecution and the torture they were undergoing. And it comes to a stage now where the enemies of Islam, they are so daring that now they plan and they plot to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And they come to the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed about this. And in that very night when those kuffar were surrounding his house, it was a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he threw some sand in the direction and he read the ayat of Surah Yasin. And he was allowed to leave his home in Makkah Mukarramah unharmed. And of course, this was a very beloved land to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the land in which he was born. And Nabi Sallam turned to Makkah and he mentioned to Makkah that if it was not for my people throwing me out of Makkah, you, O Makkah, I would have not left Makkah. So this was the sacrifice of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest of human beings to walk the face of this earth. He was thrown out of Makkah Mukarramah. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. They were taken out of their homes. إِلَّا أَيَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Only because they said our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, respected brothers and elders, the journey to the holy lands of Makkah and Medina, this reminds us of the sacrifices of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And we find, respected brothers and elders, also in this day and age, our beloved brothers in different parts of the world, the sacrifices that they are undergoing, the sacrifices that they are undergoing, our beloved brothers in Gaza, in Palestine, الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ إِلَّا يَقُولُ رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Also they are being driven out of their homes. They have been killed mercilessly. Last week was the 15th of May, and they say that was the occasion, or the 15th of May in 1948 was the day that the Nakba took place. in which thousands of our brothers were pushed out of Palestine. 1948, exactly about 70 years ago or so, that was the day in which the Nakba took place. And because of that, how many of our brothers, from that time up till now, it is an ongoing genocide. From the 7th of October up till now, over 53,000 of our brothers have been killed. And on a daily basis, they are being killed. It is a genocide that is happening in front of our eyes. And we see that this, respected brothers and sisters, also it highlights to us the sacrifices that they are also undergoing. And we find that a believer, a mu'min, is someone who qurbani and sacrifice and going through difficulties sometimes is part of his life. It is part of the life of a believer. We find a person comes up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً. Who are the people that have the most difficulty? Or who are the people that will be afflicted with the most difficulty? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, Al-Anbiya. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are those that will be afflicted with the most difficulty. If you look at the life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the sacrifices that they went through, the difficulties that they went through, Nabi Sallallahu himself, of course, perhaps he went through the most difficulty. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are those that will go through the most difficulty. Thereafter, Nabi Sallallahu mentions as-salihun, the pious. The pious, those that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them the most. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them the most, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish them, no. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to raise their darajat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them maybe a difficult life in the dunya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward them endlessly in the akhirah. That is why a believer sometimes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to test a believer, then he has to take it in his stride. He has to have sabr. Because sometimes that test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a mercy in disguise. That test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a mercy in disguise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. We will have to make qurbani from time to time. We will have to sacrifice from time to time regarding different matters. And we find, of course, we know also those of us that are not going for Hajj, it will be compulsory upon us if we have the nisab of zakat during these days of qurbani, which is the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. It is compulsory upon us to slaughter an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the details and the rulings regarding it, we can refer to our ulama. But that also, that is in the spirit of the sacrifice and the commemoration of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked that, O Nabi of Allah, ma hadhihi al-adhahi, what is this udhiyah, the sacrifice that we carry out? Nabi Sallam's reply was, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the sunnah of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So when a person sacrifices that animal, then he is reminded of the complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is one who is supposed to submit completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as mentioned, a believer is one who is supposed to be ready for some type of sacrifice in his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test some more than others. For the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and those that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them make a major sacrifice or a great sacrifice. They would have had to sacrifice their children. They would have had to sacrifice their entire wealth. They would have had to sacrifice their wife. They would have had to sacrifice their uncles, their relatives, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like what is happening to our brothers in Gaza. What is happening to our brothers in Gaza, they are, on a daily basis, their relatives are being killed in front of them. Children, wife, mother, father, they are being killed. It is like nothing, like tomorrow it is my mother, today it is my mother, tomorrow it is your mother, your father, my sister. Everyone, how many of them are losing family members on a daily basis? And not one family member, sometimes an entire family is wiped out at the same time and there is only one member of that family left. So this is a sacrifice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts people through. But we as believers, respected brothers and elders, the least we can do, and the least we can be prepared to is sacrifice our nafs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is one who sacrifices at least his nafs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by sacrificing your nafs, a person makes an intention that he wants to lead a life of taqwa. Leading a life of taqwa means fulfilling every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do, I restrain my nafs, I encourage myself that much that I fulfill every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited me from doing, whatever is haram for me, whatever it is haram for me to look at, listen to, eat, talk to, go those places that is haram for me to go to, then I restrain my nafs. The least I can do is restrain my nafs and become a person that has taqwa within me. What are the lessons also that we learn from this hajj as well? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. When you're going on this journey of hajj, then you should take the provisions for the hajj. Take your podcast. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision that you can take is the provision of taqwa. Also regarding this qurbani, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لِيَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. When you slaughter the animal, that meat won't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That blood of the animal won't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَاكِ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The purity of intention, the taqwa that is within your heart, that is what will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the lesson that we need to take during these days of Hajj Qurbani. A believer is supposed to be ready to sacrifice. In fact, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, gives him the command to sacrifice his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as he is sacrificing the animal, ulama tell us, we should tell ourselves, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the command to sacrifice my own life for the sake of, for his sake, I am ready to do it. That should be the mindset of a believer. And that is the lesson that a believer should take from these days of Hajj and days of Qurban. And we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He allowed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to undergo such sacrifice, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them relief. Eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued them. After Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was forced out of Makkah Mukarramah. Maybe around 8 years later, at the time of Fath Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah once again as a victor, as a conqueror. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to come back and conquer Makkah Mukarramah. And in what condition would such humility, his head was bowed so low on that his head was almost touching the saddle. His head was almost touching the saddle of the animal. That is how much humility he had. Even though now he was coming into Makkah as the victor. And also, Allah, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the family of and the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to get destroyed. So we also have hope that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting our brothers and sisters in that part of the world through a sacrifice at this moment in time. The ummah is suffering so much. And the ummah is at such a low point at this moment in time. But eventually we have hope. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslim ummah at that time victory again, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the ummah victory once again. And we will be able to walk into those lands once again with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we need to do and what we need to remember, respected brothers and elders, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue us, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us, then we have to walk the path of submission of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and we have to walk the path of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That is when we will get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.